Endurance takes practice. It takes desire and passion. Welcome to Enduring Churches podcast with Alan and Trent, pastors with a desire to help you endure.
Hello and welcome to the Enduring Churches podcast. This is Trent. I'm here with Alan, and we're looking forward to visiting with you today about some things that we want to encourage you in. The reason we do this whole thing is that Alan and I have a desire to help you to endure, to stick with it, to hang in there if you're in ministry or in a leadership position. We know that that is hard, and so we want to encourage you and help you to stay in there to last through the long haul. And so, Alan, today, how are we going to do that? What are we going to talk about?
Well, today we're going to be talking about some of the personal challenges that we face in ministry. You know, Trent, one of the things that we've talked about before is how sad it is that 5 years into ministry, many well-intentioned people have already made their way out of ministry within the first 5 years of graduating from seminary or pastoring or ministry in their first church. And that's really a disturbing trend. And I think there might be some reasons that are not related to the drain of ministry, but I think some of the challenges of ministry that we face that are unique to ministry certainly play a huge role in that. So we thought we'd talk about some of those things today.
That's a great topic, Alan. I know that from what I've seen, the classes starting out in seminaries across the board seem to be down. And so not only are people dropping out of ministry, but there's not as many people going into ministry. And we think, you know, yeah, it's got some definite hard things. We're going to talk about that today that maybe cause you to be distracted or keep you from enduring. But we think that ministry is an awesome deal. God has called us and we're excited to serve him in this. So, Alan, the first thing on our list that we have here is just loneliness in ministry. How does that all work?
You know, it's amazing. I'm an extrovert, and I know you're an extrovert, but have you ever found yourself lonely in ministry, Trent?
Yes, I would say that there have been several times when you just feel like nobody that you can really talk to about the things going on in your ministry. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, Sharon, one of the reasons we're doing this episode today is that was actually the first thing, and the reason it's the first one is because I was actually thinking about that last Friday. I had cleared out everything so I could truly take a day off on Friday. Couldn't find anyone to go fishing with me, and so I went fishing all by myself. And throughout that day, I was just reminded, man, you know, sometimes this is just a lonely job, and this is how it feels in the COVID world, all by myself. And, you know, it was okay because I was aware of what was going on. But It's a real feeling, and you can sometimes just have that sense of loneliness. And loneliness is bad enough, but when your loneliness becomes isolation, it really becomes a problem.
That's really a problem, especially now as we are in this COVID quarantine kind of era, because we're being asked to isolate more. But you're right. And loneliness in ministry especially, I think, is a real issue because Alan and I have talked about this. There are times when you have something going on in your life personally or that you're struggling with, and you don't necessarily feel like there's anyone in your church family that you can visit with about that. And that's why Alan and I encourage you to find some people that are also in ministry, maybe not at your church, but that you can, you know, have that confidant in. For sure, you want to be able to have a really good ongoing conversation with your spouse. That's a huge deal. But loneliness is real in ministry.
And I think that's one of the biggest struggles to wake up, and even as a couple, to wake up and realize, hey, you know, we don't have any real close friends. You know, there's no one to play games with or do anything with. Well, one of the things I love so much about our time in seminary is we were all broke. And so we did a lot of cheap stuff with a lot of people who you know, were in the same situation. And then we get into a church and realize that, you know, they're all going out to eat Sunday after church. We didn't have the budget for that. And so a lot of times we felt left out and left and by ourselves. And so, you know, it is a real problem. You have to be aware of it. You have to kind of have a plan of how you're going to attack it. Well, to go the opposite side, and maybe sometimes loneliness will contribute to this, but personal sin is certainly something too that's an enemy that we all fight. Just because you're in ministry doesn't mean that Satan's going to leave you alone.
Oh, no. I think that you're probably more in the crosshairs than ever. Even than, you know, most people in your church is when you're surrendering to Christ and surrendering to serve him, then you're going to be at the vanguard of the battle. Satan's going to be coming at you. And so, yes, personal sin is going to be a real challenge. So personal holiness, the other side of that, right, is the constant goal. I've just been reading a book by Brother Lawrence, The Practice of the Presence of God. And it's really talks about this. You know, he was a monk that worked in the kitchen, but he made it his practice and his desire to stay holy and to enjoy and love on God. And so through that, he was able to, you know, really, I guess, put up a battle against sin in his life. And so, Alan, I think that this is an area that I think all of us really struggle with. You know, we want other people to stay free of sin, but we also have to as well.
Yeah. You know, we've lost too many friends because of the consequences of sin too, along the way. And, you know, if you have an affair, you're not going to keep your ministry. You know, if you have addictions, you're not going to keep your ministry. At least once it comes to light, right? So, you know, we need to be on the guard and we need to be vigilant, because that's certainly something that will usher you out of ministry, even against your will at times, because you can't harbor sin and expect to do God's work at the same time. So we certainly have to be on a vigilant guard against that. And, you know, the Bible tells us be aware of every form of evil, because it likes to sneak up on us, and it usually doesn't come hard and fast. It's a sneaky attack, and so we want to be mindful of that.
That's right, Alan. And I wanted to say that, unfortunately, for those in ministry, when you do have a person that falls because of a sin, and it's something that would take them out of ministry, churches are really not good at bringing that person back. Unfortunately, we tend to just totally dismiss them, run them off, and that's a sad, sad thing. And I think that's something that Alan and I would like to be available to you, you know, to help talk you through that if you're ever in that situation.
I mean, just because you may not be best to be in a certain role again doesn't mean that your ministry's gone forever. And God can do a lot to redeem us and restore us. And sometimes he will restore us back to another position, you know, but there's also got to be a process of healing and all those things. And the church isn't always the best place for that. When you sin in public and get caught in public, the public outcry is usually pretty big. So a lot of personal sin too affects this next area, and that's marital and family problems. It may or may not be in regards to sin, but you know, marital and family problems are certainly a huge issue in ministry. And I was thinking about just that situation. Let's say, you know, a couple goes to seminary. They're both city people. You know, they grew up in the city. They know the city, but the first church they take is out in the middle of nowhere, and they're 4 hours from the closest Walmart. And the husband's excited because he's got his first pastorate. And then the wife is not excited because she has nowhere to go. And I've seen that play out. How about you? What comes to your mind when we think about marital and family problems?
Well, Alan, one of the first issues or first, I guess, experiences that I dealt with this was while you and I were both in seminary, there was a couple that came to seminary as well. they were married on the same day that Dana and I were. But before we graduated from seminary, they were divorced, and neither one was in church anymore. And it was just such a sad, sad deal. And it, so much of this could have been stopped. It could have been prevented. And so this is an area where you really have got to be working, because just like Alan mentioned, if you're out in a place where you don't have that support group and the accountability, that can be really a problem for both the person in ministry and their spouse.
You know, and you do have to remember, if you are married, and then if you have kids as well, you know, pastors out there, don't think it's all about you. When you take a church or you take a position, you're taking your family with you. And, you know, there are a lot of things that happen in ministry, that are avoidable if you remember that it's important that you guys be on the same page and that you guys work together. And remember that your first area of ministry is always at home. And if we do that, we will avoid a lot of the marital and family problems that come up. But, you know, at times kids can cause problems in ministries too. And it can be a challenge at times.
Yeah. Our kids typically feel like they're in that fishbowl at church. And so being able to have a conversation and say, hey, how are you doing? You know, it's depending on their age, of course. But you're absolutely right, Alan. It's not always just the marriage side of that, but it could also be dealing with your children, or even I've talked with some pastors that, you know, extended family issues have caused problems in their ministry. And so it needs to be a conversation, and you need to be able to have, I think that a church should keep their search committee together, at least for the first year, for that pastor to be able to visit with about issues that they're struggling with. They need to have that group that understands that, you know, got to know them, that they can visit with.
Yeah, and that's something too we can talk to a church about. If you're in that search process, we'll give you some great guidelines on how to ask questions that are related to the family and to walk with you through that process. So let's come to the fourth one. So we've talked about loneliness, personal sin, marital or family problems. The fourth one kind of gets back of on your own devotional side, but spiritual drift. You know, I know that there have been times in my ministry where I've just felt like I'm kind of drifting along spiritually. And we all get a little bit sideways in that. But if you get sideways in it too long, you'll find yourself looking up, not wanting to do ministry anymore.
Some people would call this spiritual drift, that same kind of idea, I think, Alan. And so a lot of things can lead into this, right? Maybe you've had a conflict at church that just has built up anger in you. Be very, very careful of that. Don't let that grow into bitterness. I will tell you, after my surgery, being in the hospital and just the health issues, that caused me to have one of the driest times, I would say, in my ministry. And so, but you got to cut yourself some slack. You're not going to stay on the same plane or growing all the time. We are going to have ups and downs. And I think God understands that. Alan, how do you deal with that? How do you get out of that time of spiritual drift?
Man, I think the biggest thing to remember is where your anchor is. I've always loved that, the thought of God is my anchor and to be anchored in Him. And, you know, there are times I think, man, I'm drifting along, but I do have an anchor down below the deep water somewhere. There's something that I go back to, and I go back to my, the fact that God loves me. I go back to the fact that God has called me. And I think about those things that are things I know in my life. And it seems over time, and it's not a process. You don't drift for a while spiritually and then just wake up and all of a sudden you're back on your A game, right? It's just as drifting as a process as we drift away, it's kind of a slow process drifting back in. So you have to be a little bit patient. And I love what you said about giving ourselves enough grace to experience it. You cannot look in the Bible and see someone who was always on top of it. I mean, the closest it comes to me in my mind is Daniel. I mean, Daniel's, I just read his story and I'm just like, this dude had his act together. But I know that's not true all the time. He was not perfect in all of this. We all drift from time to time.
You're right, Alan. And we need to cut ourselves some slack, realizing that nobody is perfect, just like Alan said. And we're all going to struggle with that. We're all going to have times of very dry, times of even if you're used to the habit of spending time in God's word, is going to come across as dry at times based on that. And one of the things that's going to lead to that, which we kind of mentioned too a little bit, is the emotional toll of ministry. We've been in ministry for a long time. There have been some very great ups, but there's also some very big downs, and it takes an emotional toll on us, doesn't it?
Ministry is tough work. It is not easy. And when people ask me, is my job hard? I'm like, well, physically it's not hard. There's nothing physically hard really about being a pastor. Sometimes you're tired, maybe after you preach, or, you know, you go to the church work day and realize you're the only guy who showed up. So you're kind of tired at the end of that day. But, it's the emotional toll. You look up, it's July and your whole church went on vacation the same week and didn't bother to tell you, you know, and they didn't invite you. So you're stuck there with nobody or this or that, or, you know, you have a church leader that has gone through a really bad experience and you got to remove a volunteer from a role, and you've got people coming at you saying, thanks for making a change, and people coming at you and say, I can't believe you changed that. And all that stuff right before you get up to preach a sermon that you've spent your whole week putting into. And it's hard. I mean, it's just hard. And a lot of people just can't not deal with the emotional toll that ministry puts on them.
Alan, I think has a great insight in this to help in that, you know, he loves to run. He loves to coach his cross country kids. And I've always been told that if you have a job that is very, use your mind a lot, not very physical, that in order to cope with stress, you need to do something very physical. The same thing is also true. The opposite is that if you have a job that is very physical, that in order to deal with stress, you need to do something that's very cerebral. And so as you're dealing with the emotional toll of ministry, find some ways to have some outlet and don't let that just boil up inside you. Alan mentioned several examples of that, but dealing with conflict certainly will take a toll on you. People talking about your spouse in ministry, that happens. That takes a huge emotional toll, or talking about your kids, or, you know, complaining about something. It all takes an emotional toll on ministry in your life.
Yes, it does. And so I think that's one that I don't think a lot of people are ready for that when they step out of or step into their first ministry role. I don't think a lot of people are prepared for how heavy and how extreme the emotional swings really are. And it takes time to get used to those swings, because just as you know that there's going to be the really bad times, you're also going to have the really up times. But those take a toll on you too, because you're always trying to refine them, and you get frustrated when you don't have them. And so that can be really hard as well. So you get that toll. But then what happens if you don't get the positives? What do? And this is kind of the next one. You just dwell on the down moments. All you do is think about how bad everything is. You become Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, and you don't have anything positive to say anymore.
Yeah, it's very easy to get stuck on those. Just think about this. When somebody at your church, you may hear one complaint or one gripe, and that is the thing that you dwell on, even though you may have heard 10 positive things, that one negative thing is what sticks in your head and the thing that keeps you up at night and the thing that you dwell on over and over. And so it's awful easy to be stuck in those down moments, but we need to be reminded, just like scripture says about the people of Israel, that when they crossed into the promised land, they set up altars, they set up stones to remind them what God had done. And we need to do that too, is to look back and see God has done some great things and to look back and be reminded of his faithfulness.
Yeah, dwell on the positives too. Remember that God called you and that God is doing things. And it sometimes it's hard to see, well, God, what have you really done and what have I really accomplished? But, you know, it's that person who kind of came but got really committed. You know, it's that marriage that was on the ropes, but because you came in and were their friend and walked alongside them, that they're stronger today than they were. It's those little things in ministry that sometimes we don't look back to, but it's really important to look back on some of the great things that God has done. And also, again, we say this from time to time, part of not dwelling on the down moments is learning to laugh at yourself a little bit too. And learn to laugh when you mess a sermon up. Learn to laugh at yourself some. When people are laughing, learn that they can laugh with you. You're going to have a whole lot better experience in ministry than just sitting around dwelling on all the negatives that can happen all the time.
I've been told by folks in church that you know, it's so freeing to hear from the pastor that they don't have it all down and that they mess up sometimes. And we do need to laugh at each other. And I think that a laugh, not at each other, maybe at ourselves, and let other people laugh at us. Alan and I laugh at each other.
Yeah, we laugh at each other all the time. That's our favorite pastime.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, so the next thing we want to visit with you about is, and this one can really cause you to be taken out of ministry altogether, is financial mismanagement. And then the opposite side of that is this, just the struggle of in ministry, you're not paid a whole lot, right? And so both of those financial issues cause a lot of struggle and can be real challenges to you enduring ministry.
Yeah, it is not easy. It's not easy to have a master's degree and to realize that you qualify for food stamps or, you know, when we had kids, we were making so little, we qualified for WIC, you know, and that was a little bit embarrassing at times, you know, and it was hard for us to deal with emotionally, to realize that we really just don't make much of a livable wage at all, in what we were doing. And that was hard. I know you guys have experienced some lean times too, Trent.
Alan, yeah, we were those families on WIC when our kids were were little, and I remember I got a small raise when I was doing college ministry. I was doing a campus ministry, and it was like $5 or something like that, and it pushed us out of WIC being eligible for that. And my wife was so mad. She used them to call and say, "Please don't give us this raise because we're losing our WIC stuff." So, yeah, it's a problem. And it's tempting though, when you have those issues to be a mismanager or to be, fraudulent even in church. And we see the headlines, right, about that, somebody who deals with the finances, at a church or a business or some organization that is mismanaging those funds. And so, man, make sure, I tell people all the time, you don't need to deal with the finances or with ladies as a man pastor. You don't need to deal with either one of those alone. And so that's so important.
Yeah, that really is important. And financial mismanagement's just one small decision away from you. And so you got to keep it at a distance from you. We have one more, Trent, and this is health issues. And I was talking with a runner recently about some health issues that they've been experiencing. And I was sharing with them about a period of time in my life when when I could sense that stress was getting the better of me. And I was just dealing with headaches and sickness and couldn't seem to get on top of it. And I'm like, I've got to have something going on. And my doctor's like, Alan, this is stress in your life. And he says, stress can kill you. And he said, you need to learn to deal with your stress better. And I've tried to remember that, but I've got to be honest. It's hard for me at times to take care of my health.
I think this is a real challenge issue, an area in ministry for sure. And what you mentioned, Alan, is absolutely true. I think that was a huge contributor to my heart issues. And so, health issues, we may not want to be out of ministry because we deal with that, but sometimes we may be forced to. And so we want to encourage you to take good care of yourself for your ministry sake and your family's sake. Again, we want you to endure, right? We want you to hang in there for the long haul. And you got to be able to take care of yourself to do that.
Yeah, you definitely need to find a physical hobby. And, you know, it's great if you like, I still have some old baseball cards and stuff. That's not a physical hobby. It can be a nice little hobby, but you need something that is a physical outlet. I don't care if it's running or biking or fishing or gardening or, you know, getting out with the cows and, playing with the cows or whatever it is. You got to find something to do that is a good physical release. And then realize too that we sit at a desk an awful lot, and you can't just eat. You got to take care of yourself.
Boy, that is so true. And I go out, Dana and I cut down trees around our area that we're, as we're cleaning up our property. And just doing that stuff, working up a heart rate that is, will get your heart rate going and stay up there for a little while. And working up a sweat, we need to do that. Boy, I've seen a lot of ministers that they struggle so much they can't do the things they want to because they're in such poor health. They don't eat right. They don't take care of themselves. And you just really, you shoot yourself in the foot. And we don't want you to do that.
Yeah, you don't want your life to become like the Jell-O salad that they serve at church potluck. So take care of your health. We are so glad you joined us today. As we talked about some personal challenges to our enduring in ministry, and we want to see you endure. That is why we're here. So reach out to us. If we can be of any assistance to you in any way possible, just reach out to us at enduringchurches.com or on our Facebook page. But we would love to hear from you. You can always email us as well, alan@enduringchurches.com, consulting, or trent@enduringchurches.consulting. And we would love to get back with you and see how we can walk alongside you as you work to avoid these challenges. Well, we look forward to catching you on our next episode of the Enduring Churches podcast. This is Alan on behalf of Trent. Thanks for joining us.
We appreciate your time and the fact that you have chosen to spend time with us. Make sure to share your email with us so we can keep you informed about future episodes.